And I'm going to begin reading from verse 6 of Acts chapter 1. Then they, the apostles, gathered around Jesus and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who's been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. This same Jesus will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. I recounted the story a few weeks ago, which some of you will probably remember, of my talking to an old lady who was bemoaning the state of the world in which we were living at that time. She was worried about nuclear warfare. She was worried about America. She was worried about North Korea. She was worried about Brexit. She was worried about her own health. She was genuinely anxious about everything. And she said to me, what is the world coming to? What is the world coming to? And I took it upon myself to be a little bit bold, and I said, well, Jesus is coming back to judge the world and to set up his kingdom, his rule, his eternal reign. And with a look of shock and utter disbelief, this old lady said to me, do you really believe that? And of course, being a church leader and a Christian, I said, yes, of course I do. But then it just got me thinking a little bit. Do I really believe that? And is it changing my life in any way? And I'd ask you the question this morning, do you really believe that? Or is it just something you say because you're a good Christian person and you go to church? You see, this is either true and the most significant, important, most life-changing truth that we could espouse and believe, or it's just a bit of a Christian myth that sort of floated into the subconscious morass of Christian ideas, but we don't really think about it that much. A bit like an urban myth, you know, an urban myth that we all say is true, but when we actually come to examine it, we know probably there's not much reality in it at all. If you go outside and you don't put on warm clothes, you will catch a chill. There's no evidence to show that just being cold, do you catch a chill? It's a virus or something else. But you know what I mean. Or it could be one of those truths, a bit like, will England win the World Cup? I penned these notes last night. I was wondering, what am I going to say, you know? What's the outcome going to be? Well, most of the time I'm thinking, possibly one day, but not in my lifetime. Is that right? Is that what you've been thinking for so many years? 52 years? Yes, possibly one day England could win the World Cup, but probably not in my lifetime. Jesus could be coming back, but probably not in my lifetime. As one person has said, if this is not true, then history is a haphazard conglomeration of chance events going nowhere. A haphazard conglomeration of chance events going nowhere. No meaning, no purpose, just unfolding. Scientists would tell us that the universe has been here now for some 15 billion years or thereabouts. 15 billion years. I can't get my mind around that size of number, that size of time, but it basically means if that 15 billion years was squashed into 1 year, then my life appears for just 1/10 of a second in the history of those 15 billion years. My life appears for 1/10. It literally is just a a blip on a computer screen and just gone. And presumably, if there's no return of the Lord Jesus, then, I don't know, I haven't talked to them, but scientists may well be saying there could be another 15 billion years. We just don't know. But here's the point, that just as there was a definite start, somewhere, sometime, in the beginning, there was a beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. There will be a definite end. If I go away and he's gone, I will come back. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And it begs the question then, doesn't it? If that is true, as you sit here this morning on the 8th of July 2018, what does it mean to you? What change does it make to your life? What difference does it make if Jesus really is coming back? About 10 months ago, my wife and I decided that we would need a holiday this summer, which is happening next Saturday, God willing. We made a decision about where we wanted to go, and we booked the place and paid the deposit. And through the ensuing months, we saved up a bit more money and we've paid the balance. I booked time off in the church calendar. I planned no meetings for those weeks. And this week, as the day approaches more and more and more, the significance of that event will begin to take over my life. I'll be getting out the crab lines and my swimmers and my beach chair and my bucket and my books and making sure my Kindle has got enough reading on it. I'll be getting ready. This little escapade to South Wales for just 2 weeks is going to change my life significantly. In my thinking and my planning and my action. What about Jesus coming back? Literally coming back to finish history. What difference is it supposed to make? And does it make any difference to any of our lives whatsoever? Peter says, since he is coming back, what kind of people ought you to be? What kind of people ought you to be? Live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Which is an interesting thought that you can actually take part in speeding its coming, possibly, by the way you behave. What sort of people ought you to be? Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? So this is not just pie in the sky when you die. This is steak on the plate while you wait. This is a hugely practical, life-changing, earth-shattering subject. And today we start a four-week series just looking at it under the umbrella, as ever, I forgot to press the button for the PowerPoint. Christ will come again. Christ will come again. And today we're going to look at the promise of his return. Next week, Warwick's going to look at the hope of his return. Our good friend Anthony Adams will come the week after and talk about the blessings of his return. And Phil will finish the series on the dangers of his return. And if this is true, and if this is so significant, can I just say, please don't think, oh, well, I'll miss two of those because I'll be on holiday, or I might catch one, or I'll be away. If this is the word of God to the people of God in Alistair at this time, be determined even now, make a mental note that you will listen to the ones you miss online afterwards, as I will hope to do. But today, the promise of his return from this little passage in Acts. At the end of the Gospels, God raises Jesus from the dead. And he is today alive. Verse 3 of this opening chapter. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs. You got it? Many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. 40 days he's appearing. Time after time after time he's appearing to them. We don't know much about those appearances, but he's teaching them about the kingdom of God. He's convincing them that he's alive, so they're in no doubt. And now he's about to go. He's about to leave them for the last time. And he's given them their marching orders in verse 8. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses to me. In the time of my absence, that's what you're here for, to witness to me to the ends of the earth, in your own backyard, a bit further afield, and to the ends of the earth. He's given them the time plan. He's given them the map of world history between his going and his coming, and it's worldwide evangelization. That's where we are today. It's amazing, isn't it? That's where we stand today, in part of the history that Jesus has called us to be ambassadors for him, to be witnesses to him. And then, in verse 9, after he said this, he was taken. Notice that. He was taken from them. A cloud hid him from their sight. God came in that cloud. Just like at the baptism of Jesus, just like at the Mount of Transfiguration, God came and enveloped him and took him. God the Father took him back to heaven. Now he's exalted. Now he's glorified. That's what he prayed, didn't he, before he was the night he was betrayed. Glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world was. And that's where we think of him this morning, who was and is to come. No more appearances until verse 11. Why did he stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back. Angels from heaven telling us that he will come back. There will be a final appearance. The theologians call it the parousia. His presence is appearing. Right the way through the New Testament, over and over again, it's the day of God, it's the day of judgment, it's the day of Jesus, or it's in that day. He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Yes, there's a day coming which will be his day when he returns. Jesus said it, the angels said it, the apostles taught it, the scriptures records it. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? He came once. He will come again. And this is the thing that always thrills me. There was a generation alive when he came the first time. Wasn't there? You know the names. You've got their history. You know, Elizabeth, Zachariah, Mary, Joseph, Anna, Simeon. So many people alive when he came the first time. There's going to be a generation alive when he comes again. And they didn't know it was their generation, and we don't know whether it could be our generation. So stop that rational thinking. Yes, I might think he's coming back, but it won't be in my lifetime. There will be a generation alive when he comes again, and it could be us. But did you notice in verse 11? Just look at verse 11 again. It's very, very interesting. This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you've seen him go into heaven. What's that all about? Coming back in the same way that you've seen him go? Well, I think it's three things. First of all, it's going to be personal. This same Jesus will come back. It's going to be personal. This Jesus who you've seen go is going to come back. It's going to be Jesus, the very man. Think about this, those of you who've been on the Christian road for a long time, the very man you've loved, the very man you've followed, the very man you've listened to, the very man you've prayed to, the very man you've thought about and loved for so long and trusted. The one who lived here, who was crucified here, who was dead and buried and risen from the dead. He's coming home. Yeah? I'm not a great football fan. I do enjoy football. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a great football fan. But I was just listening to the hype yesterday. The nation gripped with World Cup fever. In a week's time, it'll all be over. And whether we've lost or won, it won't really matter that much at all. But he is coming back. The one we've waited for. The one we've longed for. He hasn't abandoned us. This same Jesus. And he's coming for me. Isn't that good? He's coming for you. this Jesus that you've trusted. You know, when I was a kid, my dad worked, like most men work, away from the home. And sometimes when the weather was really bad, we longed for him to get home, particularly if it was snowy. And we would, in the winter when it was dark, and we'd be in the front room of the house, and every car that we could hear, is that dad, is that dad, is that dad? And we'd hear a car, and we'd go to the window, and it wasn't him. But the moment we saw his traffic lights, his car lights coming through the drive, he's here. We're safe. It's all over. It's all right. He's okay. This same Jesus is coming back. It's personal. And it will be visible. Did you notice that? In the same way you've seen him go, there are five references to their sight as he went. Did you notice that as we read it? Just look at this. He was taken up before their very eyes. And a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. And then the men of Galilee said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go. It's all visible. They see and watch him go, and it's all going to be visible when he comes back. It's going to be personal. It's going to be this same Jesus, and it's going to be visible. His going was very, very visible. It will be exactly the same when he comes back. But on another scale, please don't think everybody's going to see him on Facebook. Please don't think everybody's going to see him on TV. Every eye will see him, even those who killed him. The dead and the living all together will see Jesus. You will see, he said. He said this. You will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with great power and glory. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel. They will see his face. You got that promise if you're a follower. Think about this. You will see his face. They will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. You're going to see your Jesus. I'm going to see my Jesus face to face. It hasn't rained for about 6 weeks in this country or in certain parts of this country. But back in May, there was a terrible night of thunderstorms. And I couldn't believe it because we didn't have one here. But down in the southeast, there were 50,000 flashes of lightning through the night. 50,000. I can't even imagine that, can you? As the lightning shines from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be, said Jesus. You will see him. We will all see him. Everyone who's ever lived will see him. It will be personal. It will be visible. And goodness me, it will be glorious. He will come with power and great glory. The New Testament says he will come to be glorified amongst his people. He will stand in the midst of us and display his glory through us and in us as he stands with us. And he will be marveled at, wondered at, amazed at as we stare at him and fall on our faces before him. Listen to the last book of the Bible describe his coming. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. The last time this world saw Jesus, he had on his head a crown of thorns. When the world sees him again, he's going to be wearing many crowns, many diadems, the trophies of his reign and victory. Jesus himself said, the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory. The cloud that enveloped him, the glorious taking of him, he'll come with the clouds of heaven again, the presence of God, and it'll be glorious again. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? Are you ready? It is what the New Testament calls our blessed hope and the appearing in glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you ready? Let me just briefly finish with this. Many of you know, and we're very grateful for your support and prayers and so on, that my father-in-law, Philippa's father, died about 6 weeks ago. And the family were thrilled, in one sense, just as you can imagine, there's a lot of sadness as well, that all his affairs were bang up to date. He was meticulous with everything. His bank book was bang up to date. Everything was just left exactly as it should be. And my son came on the phone to me and said, "Dad, if anything happened to you, is everything bang up to date? Could we have access to everything we need? Could we have all the information, your passwords, your codes, your bank account details, your insurance policies, and so on?" I said, "Well, I think I know where it all is." He says, "Yes, but do we know? Do we have access to it?" And then my son said to me, this is my son. You can tell he's a lawyer, can't you? He said, "On my computer, Dad, I've got a death folder. And everything to do with my death is in that folder." He said, "And my wife is the only one who has the password. But if anything happens to me before her, she has the password and she can go in there and you can access everything to do with my death that you'll need to know." Typical of my son. But I said to myself, what is actually in my death folder? And I want to ask you that question this morning. Are you ready? What's in your death folder? Not your bank accounts, your insurance policies and passwords. But what is really in your death folder if this is going to happen, if Jesus is coming back? Because his return will be a time of many things. It will be a time of resurrection. He said, a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice. The dead in Christ will rise first. All, everyone who's ever lived, will be resurrected. It's a time of resurrection. I had a friend who used to love walking through graveyards. Because he'd stand there and say, "I wonder how many of these are going to come out first." Yeah, the dead in Christ will rise first. We're going to get, if we're followers of Jesus, we're going to get new bodies. No more Parkinson's disease. No more old age. No more cancer. Some of you know I have a dear friend called Anthea, who's an air traffic controller at Heathrow Airport, and she's allowed me to accompany her once or twice on a shift in the air traffic control tower at Heathrow. Anthea hasn't been there for the last 6 months. She was diagnosed with breast cancer in January, February. She then discovered that she'd got a very bad melanoma on her arm, and now they scanned her whole body and found that she's got secondaries in her pelvis. A young woman, struggling. We're all going to get bodies, new bodies. We will all be changed. That is the hope we're looking forward to. It's a time of resurrection, but it's a time of reckoning as well. Jesus said, all in the graves will hear his voice, and some will rise to live, but others will rise to be condemned. Which is it? What's in your death folder at the moment? This isn't about being good. This is about trusting Jesus Christ to have paid the penalty for your sins so that you can on that day rise to live with him and all his people. He who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Do you hear that? Some of you need to hear that. If you hear my word and believe him who sent me, you have eternal life. God's appointed a day, and again, there it is again, the day when he will judge the world in righteousness. Your destiny then will be irreversible. A time of resurrection, a time of reckoning, a time of reunion. Then shall we be forever with the Lord. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? We should be forever with the Lord, with Jesus, reunion with him. Think of those parents of those boys in that cave this morning. Think of they've been found, they've been saved in a sense already, but they haven't been reunited yet. Think of the joy and the happiness and the tears and the wonder when they're actually brought out and presented back to their parents. Oh God, may it please happen today. But that's what it's going to feel like. All I've waited for, all I've been excited about is seeing my Jesus. The one who loved me so much that he gave his life for me. It's going to be a time of brilliant reunion. And I'm going to stop at this one because it's getting hot and it's getting late. It'll be a time of review. We must all stand. before the judgment seat of Christ. This isn't about salvation, but this is about examination. This is about Jesus and us going through our lives and evaluating how we've lived. Doesn't mean we get chucked out of heaven. It doesn't mean anything like that. It doesn't mean we lose our salvation. Examination. There was a time in my life a few years ago where I was going through a very difficult patch trying to sort something out. And I kept saying to my wife, you know, I'll give an account for how I've handled this. And to this day, I think I probably still made mistakes. I don't know what they are, but I will give an account. Jesus said, this is staggering, isn't it? Every careless word that men and women have uttered, they will give an account for on the day of judgment. If you've never said a careless word, you care to just raise your hand so we can see this perfect person? It'll be a time of review. He who has this hope in Jesus purifies himself, herself, even as he is pure. It's that practical. It's that life-changing. It's that life-questioning. I'm going to stand before Jesus and my life this last week and my speaking this morning and my time this afternoon, and I'll give an account for all of it. And you won't give an account for anybody else. It will be yourself that you give an account for. Let me just give you the others, but not talk about them. It'll be a time of reward, a time of rest, and a time of recreation. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? It changes everything. Now is the time to deny yourself. Now is the time to make sacrifices. Now is the time to give things up. Now is the time to put yourself out for the sake of the kingdom of God, because a day is coming when it'll be worth it in the end. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. What is 3 hours on a Friday morning to serve the kingdom of God with Acorns? What is 3 hours once a week to serve in a house group or whatever? I don't know what it might mean for you. What is giving up serving in church so that you might go to another part of the world? It's worth it in the end. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? I was talking to a minister friend, a pastor friend, these last few days, who ministers in a seaside town. I won't mention where it is because you'll be able to find out what the church is. But he ministers in a seaside town, Geriatrica, Costa Geriatrica, he calls it. People go there to retire. And he says, trying to get his church to change, to move, is like waking the dead. If you talk about crown green bowls, if you talk about gardens, if you talk about sunbathing, if you talk about painting the outside of the house, if you talk about anything to do with retirement, they're with you. But the kingdom of God, Jesus is coming back. Are we ready? Let's pray. And Father, as I say those things, you publicly call me again to examine my life for the sake of the kingdom of God. And you do that for each one of us. But thank you for the hope that we have. Thank you that we're going to see Jesus face to face. Thank you that all our prayers, all our crying, all our struggling, all our worrying, all our thinking will all be over, and we will rest in him and with him forever. Thank you there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Thank you that this groaning creation, which is in bondage to decay, will groan no more, but will be set free into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Thank you. You're coming back. Help us all to be ready and waiting. In Jesus' name, amen. Just stay praying for a moment while the musicians come up. We're going to sing that great song, "There is a day that all creation's waiting for, a day of freedom. We shall meet him in the air, and then we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Oh, yeah. Let's stand.